We're the Pragmatic Doulas.
This is a podcast where we talk all about birth and other interesting things.
Birth may be a goddess, but she doesn't want to be worshipped. She wants to be respected. She doesn't want incense. She wants
common sense. All right. Welcome to the Pragmatic Doulas podcast. My name is Kate Fernandez.
And I am Suzanne Lim.
And muted is...
She's coming.
There she is.
I am no longer muted. I'm Stephanie Alouche.
I make her mute and she makes a whole thing about muting herself and then doesn't unmute when she goes to talk. Welcome, everybody.
It's cold outside, isn't it?
It snowed yesterday. What the bloody hell?
What?
I woke up to snow. I had to dust off my car. It's April 15th, 16th, 18th. What the hell day is it? I don't even know. But it's mid-April. Come on, people. I know it's Canada, but come on.
I have every morning I go out to walk the dog. I'm like doing that thing where I'm like testing the air, the wind with my wet finger. Because I have this
long from the Farmer's Almanac.
I have this long stretch north, like my route that I always do. But if the wind is coming from that way, I am just not doing it.
No.
I apologize to the dog and we turn around and go home because that wind, that cutting April wind, I'm just not doing it.
No. So it's unbelievable how stupid Canadian weather is, Ontario weather is. It's dumb. Dumb. Yeah. I don't know if I told you guys when I had completely unrelated. When I had Thomas at the end of March, my feet were so fat, like they were like potatoes with little nubs on the end. Like that was my foot, right? And all I could wear was Birkenstocks, which was fine though because it was the end of March and spring was coming and lovely. But then when I was in the hospital for the week, it snowed 3 feet. I had to basically go home because you know the swelling doesn't go down after the baby comes. I had to go home through the snow with my big fat potato feet and my Birkenstock style sandals. Like, come on.
Well, there's your April cold story, but I have an April story that is also a child immigrant story. One of my very first memories of a snowstorm here happened in April, a horrible blizzard almost a year. I had already been in Canada for almost a year, but there was a big snowstorm in April. And my mom was so worried about me walking home from school that she got off the couch. She was deathly sick from being just pregnant with my sister. And she had to get up with her nausea and her aching, whatever. And I remember I was like, we were walking through the blizzard, my friend and I hanging on to each other for dear life. It was so windy and the snow was blowing. And we looked through the snow and we saw my mom coming. I was like, look, it's my mom. And I was like, mommy. She was yelling for me. And we ran towards her and she put her arms around us and we trudged our way across the park through the snow to our house. And that is my April snowstorm memory.
You must have thought leaving Jamaica was really not the best idea at that point.
What is this? I don't understand. But yeah, that's my. And then when my grandson was born on April the 5th, when we were taking him home a few days later, it snowed so much. I had to clean the car off before we put the baby in the car. And I was again, what the hell is this garbage?
It's true.
All right. There you go.
All right. Can I just say how stupidly excited I am about this particular podcast? We have a guest, my business mentor, who I've talked about on this podcast repeatedly over the past year. Nicole Joy Black from Doulas Going Digital Online Business School, podcast. Is the podcast still Doulas Going Digital, or have you changed the name of that too?
It went through a rebirth. It changed the name. It's now Birth Your Online Business. So still paying homage to my birth fascination. And thank you for the introduction. And I'm so excited too. I'm not usually a guest on podcasts anymore. So I'm excited to jump back into that. I feel like energy is changing. Life is changing a little bit. So it's opening me up to come and share and help on other shows and with other audiences. So thank you. Thanks for having me, everyone.
Awesome. Yay, we're so glad to have you. Yes.
All right.
So I should tell you, I don't want to upset anybody, but it's in the 80s here today. So
shut up. You're in Florida.
I'm in Florida. I'm in Florida, and we were soaking in our sweat yesterday for egg hunts.
I know. I saw your Instagram pictures with your like strappy sandals and tank top. I'm like, fuck, Jesus.
I know. For 2 years, I was in Chicago, which is, it rocked my little Florida heart.
Oh yeah. Like, Chicago's actually way worse, I think, than Toronto.
Yes,
as far as cold goes.
I was like, what is happening? My husband's from Chicago and we met in Florida, but for 2 years we lived there while he was in school. And I had a very gentle two winters. But to me, I was like, what is this shit? Like I remember it being mid-April and it was snowing. I'm like, how is this possible? And all my friends in Florida are like sweating and they're in their tank tops. And so when the opportunity came up to come back to Florida, I was like, hell yes, there's not a doubt in my mind. I will go sit in the swamp with the alligators and the snakes and all the reptiles and the dinosaurs. So yes.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Where is there a place that we don't have to freeze, but neither do we sweat? There are no prehistoric reptiles in your backyard.
And or giant ass bugs the size of your head.
Yeah, and the temperature is just nice and moderate. Where is this place?
I do not know.
Netherlands.
Ooh, they get cold winters. They're north, north.
Yeah. So if you're going like Sweden and stuff like that, you can get really, really cold, but it is relatively moderate. It's like when my grandmother got emphysema, her doctor gave her two options: move to the Netherlands or move to BC. And I mean, BC in the past couple of years has had much more wild weather than they've ever had before, but it's usually a pretty moderate temperature. Like the hots don't get super hot and the colds generally don't get super cold, but really actually the past 2 years has kind of wiped out that thought. But yeah, the Netherlands, I mean, it has to be warm enough to ride your bike everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm looking a little bit warmer than that. Not Florida hot, but a little warmer than BC in the Netherlands. Come on. Maybe that's my Caribbean talking, but I need a little bit more. I don't want to sweat, but I also would like to wear sandals all year round. Maybe I'm just being picky, but yeah.
All right. Let's do that land acknowledgement and then we can dive in.
Speaking of climate, speaking of all things natural, let's do this land acknowledgement. So welcome to Nicole. I would love to hear at some point, maybe I will look up a land acknowledgement for Florida. I'm not sure what the indigenous groups, who the indigenous groups are in that part of the continent, but up here, this land that we are podcasting on, the three of us, in South Central Ontario, is the traditional territory of many nations, First Nations, including the Mississaugas of the Credit, the Anishinaabeg, the Chippewa, the Haudenosaunee, and the Wendat peoples, and is still home to many other diverse First Nations, Inuit and Métis people. We also acknowledge that Toronto is covered by a treaty, Treaty 13, which was signed. It's a little bit controversial, but officially the word is that this Treaty 13 was signed with the Mississaugas of the Credit, and the Williams Treaty was signed by multiple Mississaugas and Chippewa bands. And we also acknowledge that this small little gesture that we make every week is definitely not enough, but it is one small thing that we can do to keep our minds focused on the journey towards reconciliation and sovereignty for Indigenous peoples in our country.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Miigwech. All right. So as I mentioned, Nicole is my business mentor. I signed up last year for her online business membership. It wasn't what it was called though, I don't think. It was called-
originally no.
No. So I'm my year's up. I've got to renew. And I was, for me personally, I was looking for something. I needed a kick in the pants to get moving. And this is the way you did, I don't know the way you did this. I kind of fell into all the things that you talk about, like drew me in. I looked at some of the stuff you offered, a free thing. And then I watched that. And then I was part of the Facebook group, Doulas Going Digital. And I was like, yeah, okay, please tell me more. What is happening here? And I guess the energy clicked and I'm like, yeah, let's do this. I think you offered it at a really good price. And I was like, yeah, okay, let's, you know what? I got to do something. So let's do this. And nothing else was speaking to me. And just from that point on, it has, and these guys will attest because I say this every time it happens, every time, and it's not, I love you. It's not like you're saying anything that's blowing my mind, like that is like completely out there. It's just every time I hear something, it lights a fire under my ass. And it's like, yes, okay, yeah. It's like I'll hear one thing and then I just start writing stuff down. I just start, you know, okay, yeah, I got to do that. I got to do that. I got to do that. And I mean, even last week when we were had, because you have with this program, you have monthly Q&As. And it's like, you just ask the simple question, well, why do you only offer 1 week at a time? And it's like, well, I don't know. I just, cause I don't want to oversell and blah, blah, blah. And a couple other people piped up and it's like, well, that's their problem. And I'm like, why don't you offer it as a package? I'm like, yeah, why don't I? And then I did. And then I sold it like within days of this. And again, it's, why isn't this coming to my head? But it's just, I just need, it's like just listening to you go like, well, why not? Yeah, why not? So tell us about, sorry, now that I've like fangirled, tell us about you. And so what brought you to this point? What brought you to be this business mentor?
Oh, thank you for that first. Like, thank you for sharing, Suzanne. That was beautiful. And by the way, I did check the land that I am on this morning. I knew we were on Seminole land, just side note. But there was another tribe that I was not familiar with that I heard about this morning. And that is the, I hope I pronounce this correctly, but the Tocobaga. And that I hadn't heard of before. So I did double check this morning. Seminole was the only that I was familiar with. And thanks for the intro. I appreciate that big. You gave me so much to respond to. I want to share my thoughts on some stuff that you said. So I was taking notes because you know how I am. If yes. I don't write things down, it's gone. It's gone and somewhere out in the universe that it's over. It's left my brain. So I have to write things down as we go or it's over. So I am Nicole Joy. I go by Nicole Joy in the public world, but my last name's Black. So Nicole Joy Black. And what brought me to this? So I'll try to make it not so long of a story, not to totally bore you to death, but since it's C-section awareness month, I think that feels correct to start with because I have three kids, by the way, three absolutely perfect and amazing little humans. Of course, I am obsessed with my little babies. They're not that little anymore, but you know, they're always your little babies, of course. And with my son, who's 8 years old, I had a C-section, and going back, I spent 10 years in corporate real estate finance, and I was in the corporate world, and I was pregnant with him, and I worked until the Friday before my C-section, which was on a Sunday, and that C-section was at the time I was in this world of like, what is going on? You know, I was just so confused and I didn't really have anybody to talk to. I never heard of a doula. I'd never heard of anything. And I had no context for birth work. And I just thought you go to the doctor and you do what you're told to do. This is the template that you're given. This is what you're supposed to do. You go to an OBGYN, you do whatever your doctor says, that's it. And I did. And I was young, I was 30 and I had a healthy pregnancy and everything. And so towards the end of the pregnancy, my doctor was like, so we're thinking he's going to be pretty big, like 8 to 10 pounds. And I don't think that your pelvis is going to be able to do this. So we're going to go ahead and schedule you a C-section. And I'm like panicking, you know, because I really had nobody supporting me in a way that now I know I needed, right? So I had a probably unnecessary C-section and it went okay considering. But that moment was really pivotal. It was one of the first very pivotal moments for me that was a catalyst for what really changed the trajectory of my life. So I was actually writing about it this weekend and I didn't realize that it would be today on the episode that I start to talk about it was, you know, that scar that I have, that C-section scar resembles so much more than just being cut open to bring the baby out of my body. But like, it really cut me open in so many ways. It broke me open energetically. And I didn't know at the time, right? Because I was like, felt like I was drowning in new motherhood and trying to figure everything out. And so yeah, that was kind of the first little boost. And I thought when I was pregnant, I'm like, I'm going to put him in daycare. I'm going to find a great daycare by my job and I'll be fine. I'll go check on him on my lunch break. Got to get back to work. I'm a career woman. And he came out and I was like, well, that's not happening. And I just looked at my husband. Well, at the time we weren't married, but I looked at him. I'm like, listen, I'm not leaving him at that place because I don't like the way she changed his diapers. And I'm not leaving him at that place because I don't like the way that they wiped down that table. And I'm not leaving. And I was ridiculous. I'm like, what is wrong with me? And, you know, that little boy just, he activated me in ways that only now I'm starting to have language for. So it began this migration out of the corporate world. My job at the time, I was making great money. And the year I got pregnant, the company that I worked for started to write me out of my bonuses. So they really reduced my salary for like probably by 70% or more. It was significant because my salary stayed the same, but with bonuses the year before in 2012, year before I got pregnant, I made $250,000 that year with bonuses. And I'm sharing that only because of what happened the year I got pregnant. And I worked for a pretty small corporate company and there wasn't HR, there was nobody standing up for me. And the bosses were like, so are you going to be a career woman or a wife and a mother? And I'm like, well, I really want to keep earning what I'm earning. So I'm going to tell you whatever it is I think you need to hear. But they strategically wrote me out of bonuses that I couldn't really argue. There was no one to argue them to. So 2013, the year I had my son, I was basically stripped down to my base salary, which was still healthy, but I'm like, okay, clearly this is not going to work. And I couldn't be away from him. Started working from home. That was the beginning of the transition. And then I got pregnant again with my daughter. We were living in Chicago at the time, which is a completely different birth world and community and culture than where I was in Florida. The South is pretty dated when it comes to the birth culture. So with Livia, I got pregnant and the word VBAC came up at my hospital, at my doctor's appointments. And I'm like, what is that? Is this a vacuum cleaner? Like, what are we talking about? And somebody said midwife. And I was like, midwife, is she going to come into my marriage? I just was so oblivious to what this stuff was. And I dove deep and learned everything that I could and just read everything. I was begging. There was one childbirth educator in Chicago at the time who was teaching VBAC classes. And I remember emailing her over and over and over again, please teach me, please teach me. I'll pay you for a private class. And she just had no bandwidth for it at the time. So I switched to midwifery care late in my third trimester. And I was like, what is this sorcery? Like, this is absolutely incredible. And nobody's been telling me my whole life that this is an option. And I gave birth in the hospital. I had a VBAC and my daughter was 9 pounds, 4 ounces. And I didn't tear. And I was like, the whole world needs to know about this. And again, something changed in me, right? Like I was further poked and activated by my belief is like the universe, God, and Soros was like, hey, listen, there's something in you, lady, that you need to be paying attention to. So that was another step. And when that baby, when Livia was a few months old, I had been working from home for the same company still. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. And also during that pregnancy, I lost my little brother who was 21 at the time. And so part of this evolution is my belief that the biggest catalysts in my life have been birth and death. Because when my brother died, he was on a motorcycle and had an accident when I was 7 months pregnant with her. And between his passing and then having this world-shaking VBAC experience, I was like, I can't go back to mogul land. I can't go back to doing real estate finance and studying balance sheets and income statements for other people. I can't do that. Like, there's something else here. And so I finally got the courage when she was a few months old to leave my job. And I was so, I had no idea what I was going to do. So trying to not take up all of your day with this, I just started exploring and trying to figure myself out and try to learn what lights me up and grieve and heal and grow, you know, raise my second baby too. And fast forward a little bit, I started a fashion blog, which is laughable because I'm not very fashionable, but I wanted to start doing something. And it felt, I honestly was afraid to talk about birth. And now I know a lot of my clients also feel at first kind of afraid to put yourself out there and share about things that you really could be attacked for. And I was afraid to share my beliefs about birth, my experience. I was afraid of what people were going to say to me or say about me. I was very much a people pleaser still. And so if clothing felt safe, I'm like, what's the worst they're going to say? They don't like my outfit. I don't really give a damn, you know, but attacking me for how I birth, that would bother me. So I got pregnant with my third. We were back in Florida and I was really interested in birth, like going deeper and possibly having a natural birth this time. It would be my first time, which I never in my life thought that I would even be saying those words. I never thought I was strong enough or that I would be capable. I thought people who gave birth naturally were like, there was something wrong with them. I'm like, why would you do that when there's something beautiful like an epidural available to you? And I was like, I told my husband at the beginning of the pregnancy, I'm like, I want to do this at home. And he's like, yeah, no. Like he just wasn't really on board. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And throughout the pregnancy, I was just kind of planning and not planning for a home birth, but I took my doula training and I took childbirth education training and I became certified childbirth educator. And I started teaching about it and learning and teaching all of the things that I needed. And when the time came and I went into labor, I was 41 weeks with Imani, with my third, and everything happened so fast. I was so comfortable. It was such a primal feeling. I was at home. I felt safe. And I'm like, I'm not leaving. And my husband was trying and trying to get me dressed. And I was like, get out of here with those pants. It's not happening. I will not be wearing pants today. So get the F out, like go wash your hands. They smell like chicken wings. And then I need you to come back and doula me. I had been learning how to doula so that I could teach him how to doula me, because I feel like subconsciously I knew I wouldn't be back in the hospital. And I accidentally gave birth on the bedroom floor. So I was back and forth on the toilet. I'll share more of the birth story because I think that, you know, this is a birthy space. So I think we appreciate it, right? Mm-hmm. Start to finish, it was 3 hours and 20 minutes about. Wow. No, I'm sorry. It was under 3 hours. My labors come on fast and furious every time, even with the C-section. My water broke that morning. And within 30 minutes, I am full on. Like, I don't get much of a break in between contractions. They're intense and they're furious. And so this time I had tools and I had a doula who didn't arrive until Imani's head was already out. And I remembered feeling like I had to hide that she was coming out. I was like trying to hide it from my husband. I was sitting on the toilet and I felt her head, like I was in transition and I knew it. And I was like roaring like an animal. And he's like, you need to sit back. And I'm like, mm-mm. And I didn't want him to see because I thought he was going to try to make me go to the hospital. And I was like, and I didn't want to scare him. So I was like, no. And he's like, no, you need to sit back because if you birth her in the toilet, it's going to be not great. Right? Like I need to be able to help you. And I was like, okay, he knows. So I leaned back and her head was poking out a little bit. And so I'm like, okay, fine. Get me on the yoga mat. So that experience was another of these like strong catalysts that just rocked me. She was 8 pounds, 15 ounces. And I gave birth without any drugs and I had no tears. And I was like, I cannot believe this. Like I still feel high just thinking about it. So I had done all this training and I was starting my business helping pregnant folks, right? I had a pregnancy library and I had online birth classes. Like I was doing all that during pregnancy. And then she was born August of 18. So about another year, I continued to build my online platform. I just continued to grow, build, support people virtually. In person wasn't always my jam. I had 3 young children at home. I'm also a human design projector. So a lot of exertion takes a lot out of me. And so I realized pretty quickly that the virtual space is my thing. And by the fall of 2019, a lot of other birth workers, because you know how it is on social medias and stuff, we all would follow each other and communicate and connect and have conversation. And I found that a lot of other birth professionals were asking me, how do you do this? How did you do that? How'd you make your courses? And this was before COVID, right? So like shout out to the OG birth professionals who were hanging with me that were not telling me I was ridiculous, because there were a handful that were like, what are you doing? That's ridiculous. Nobody does it that way. And I'm like, well, I kind of have to do it this way because I can't really be in person. I have a lot going on at home and I can't be out. I can't be gone from home. I enjoy the high of birth, but like, I got to get the high somehow, some other way. You know, I have to fulfill myself and help others in a different way. So I started in the fall of 2019 teaching other birth professionals how to effectively build the digital side of their business. And that continued to evolve over the last, gosh, it's been almost 3 years now since I started with that. And I started the Doulas Going Digital podcast that fall. And it's been renamed. Things have gone through continuous rebirthing and evolution. And so now it's the Birth Your Online Business podcast. And I'm starting to help folks that do a little bit more than birth work. But my heart is still and forever will be in birth, because I truly think it's one of the most important, outside of, you know, parenthood and raising your own little humans, it's some of the most important work we can be doing in the world. I mean, we're literally changing these little babies' lives and the way that they think about birth. Like, it gives me chills to think about. So shout out to all the birth workers who are doing the important work in the world. I hope that wasn't too boring, but that was the high level summary of how I got to this point.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, that wasn't boring at all. I love it.
That's a wild ride, and such a great ride too, considering it's International Cesarean Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, I love the way you describe it, that like each of these moments sort of like broke open, you know, I like that vision of like, it's breaking open and releasing this new energy, that you have to bring forward. And I think one of the things that I really like about your program is that it looks at marketing and all of that stuff, not the traditional way that we may have learned about marketing in high school or college or things like that, but it looks at it from, you know, what makes you feel good to do? What do you want to do that's going to fulfill you? So, you know, like you talk about, you know, you don't work for Instagram. You don't have to keep downloading all of this stuff into there if that's not what you want to do. Like if that makes you feel icky, that isn't something that you have to do. And it was just those little light bulbs of little snippets. It's like, oh yeah, I don't have to do that. I can still do what I want to do without this stuff. So you talk about unschooling your business. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Of course.
And your approach to that?
Yeah. And you're right. Like I studied marketing as part of my college education, right? I studied finance. Finance was my major. But I took a lot of marketing classes and I took accounting classes. And so I learned a lot about how to build a business, right? So I went to school for business and I was schooled through business. I was school, you know, all of these ways. I took marketing classes when I started the fashion blog thing. I took, actually took like a sustainable fashion design class. Like I've taken all the schools and classes, right? And learned all of Instagram classes, Instagram workshops, and all these people telling you, this is how you're supposed to do this thing. right? Even birth in the beginning, it was like, this is how you're supposed to do this. And there reached a point where I'm like, I just felt like I was in a box and I felt like I was pushing the box off me. Like, get this, these rules. Who made up? I was just listening to this morning on Peloton. I did a Lauryn Hill ride and Everything is Everything. Right. And she's like, who wrote these? Who made these rules? Right. Like, who made these rules? And so because it worked for this person, that person, him and her and whatever, it doesn't mean it's going to work for everybody. And so at the same time, over the last few years, especially as my kids get a little bit older, I have been actively unlearning a lot of the load of BS I learned in public school in Florida, right? Florida is great for a lot of reasons, but it's also crap in lots of for lots of reasons. And 30 years ago, God, that's really hard to say, the public education system was just crap. So I have been unlearning a lot of that in other areas of life, right? And I looked at the business and I'm like, well, you're deprogramming in business too. You know, on a personal level, I have been peeling off layers. I've shared some of this publicly as well, but I'll, you know, bring it in here because I think it's relevant, of the expectation of beauty and the standards and how, you know, what you're supposed to look like. And it's very, it's not real, you know, and the last few years have been unpeeling all these things physically from my body as well. I stopped using heat products. I took out my breast implants a year ago and I stopped using hormonal birth control. I'm just like, get all of this stuff out of me and off of me and just been really returning to myself. And so this deprogramming, concept came into the business because I was looking around at the business like, well, why am I doing it this way? Why am I bring up what you said about Instagram? Why am I putting pressure on myself to feel like, oh, because these Instagram experts who are building a business based on how they tell you to run Instagram, they say to post 3 times a day, but it's exhausting me. So am I really helping people if I'm exhausting myself? I don't think that it's required. I don't think it's required to exhaust myself to help. I'm actually more helpful when I'm refreshed. And when I don't feel tired, I can help better. And birth professionals especially need your energy. Mm-hmm. You know, so if something is depleting, it's not helping your clients and it's not helping you and it's not helping your community, right? So I started to look at all these areas of business and I'm still doing it. You know, it's an ongoing thing.
Yeah.
I love what you said about returning to yourself. And the whole idea of unlearning, reprogramming, unschooling, I love that because I actually unschooled or homeschooled my kids for years and years. And those concepts were really big. So there are general things that we know to be true and good about everything, about education, about birth work or whatever. But then you need to be able to take that and return to yourself and figure out how it fits with you. So how do you do that for your diverse population of clientele?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's a really good question. Yeah, that's a really good question. So I try to navigate this, and actually I received feedback recently that felt really good to hear, because sometimes I wonder, like, am I doing a good job at supporting folks in my community who have different beliefs than me? You know, we have a lot of Christian folks in my spaces. I've had clients that are Catholic and I'm not very religious. So, you know, the way that I bring my beliefs in, but I really try to present and teach and guide in such a way that I lead with, look, I will never try to push my beliefs on you. And all I can hope is that you pick and choose what feels good and leave the rest. You never have to agree with me and it will never hurt my feelings if you don't, because I want you to believe in what you believe, or filter what I teach and filter the things that I'm sharing through your own lens. How does that feel kind of good, or does it feel good? And if it does, how can you run it through your lens? And I have, for example, I had a Christian client recently that was on the podcast. Actually, it's probably been several months since she was on the podcast, and she shared, it was so funny. She's like, listen, I am a Christian woman, but, and I listen to some of the loads. I'm like, here comes Nicole with all this craziness. Cause I talk a lot about, you know, spirituality and woo and magic and, you know, my belief system. And she's like, but I also know that I can always kind of run it through myself and check in, like, okay, does this feel good to me or not? And it's just an open space in that way. I also did a poll on my Instagram stories. I think it was last week, where I was asking people, you know, what words they use to describe their beliefs. You know, what do, to, for first, for example, like in a higher power, do you say God? Do you say universe, spirit? You know, what words do you use? I'm just curious. And the answers were really interesting to me because a lot of them are my clients and are in the membership and they have such a wide range of beliefs. And I was like, thank you that I didn't even realize that people with all of these different beliefs feel safe coming to this space to learn from me, even though I don't necessarily, we don't necessarily have the same religious beliefs.
I think for me as well, because I've talked repeatedly on here about Facebook spaces and how awful I think they are. I everybody knows this, but I have found that in the spaces that you hold in the podcast, in the Facebook group, both of the Doulas Going Digital and the online business membership, in those spaces, I don't feel stupid asking a question. I don't feel like I'm going to get, and I mean, look, I'm 52 years old and I've been in this business for 16 years. I'm not going to take anybody's crap, but it's still when I look at some of, you know, of these groups, I don't want to put myself out there in those groups because they make me feel so intimidated and I don't necessarily feel safe. But just being in, so started in, you know, Digital's Going Doula or Doula's Going Digital, in that space, I felt so safe. And I think that's another reason why I moved further in, because it felt like I could be open and I could ask questions and I wouldn't feel stupid or attacked or put down or things like that. And I love you for making that, for being that and allowing that space to exist. Because I think in the doula world, they're not everywhere.
I agree. Thank you for saying that. And again, that's a reflection that I appreciate because I look at spaces, and this is for any birth worker, right? You can apply this to your business too. When you're opening community spaces and containers, right? I think about it like these are energetic containers. So the Doulas Going Digital Facebook group, which has also been renamed, it's now the Birth Your Online Business group, and it just matches the podcast. But that free group, when I created the container, I was very intentional. And I think of that as a container. And I was really intentional with the kind of energy that is available to folks in the container. It's a supportive container. It's a loving container. And it's a space where I want people to feel seen and heard and appreciated and acknowledged. And we are not available for shaming and judgment and all of it's just, we're not available for it in the container. And there have been occasional people that have come in that don't realize that necessarily, and they don't end up being in there for very long. I'll say it that way. But when I built the container, this might be a little bit out there, but one of the things that I did is, and again, this is just what I do. I'm not suggesting anybody has to do it. I should also say I'm a huge fan of options, right? And like that is my structure is somebody that I like to present options to people. I don't say like, okay, this is how you have to do this thing. I don't think that that's ever helpful. We have options. I've tried lots of options for lots of things. So I share lots of different ideas I have and then you pick what feels good. So the option for me when I built the free group, but then also the paid groups I have and other energetic containers is I would pull it up in my mind's eye and go into like a very relaxed state and just imagine what the container looks like and what it feels like. And in the beginning, when I was first building it, I just imagined it in my mind's eye. It was like, I had my hands out and I was holding like cupping this. Imagine if you had your hands together, like you were holding water in the cups of your hands to carry to something or somebody. And I just closed my eyes and I imagined myself pouring so much love into that bowl, that container, that it just kept getting bigger and bigger and overflowing with this love. And so I appreciate that you felt that way because that's what I really wanted. That was the intention, was to bring that to the space. Cause I started in the birth industry, joining loads of groups to see like, okay, let's figure out what's going on. I don't know a whole lot about this. And I was in a lot of groups that I'm like, oh, this feels scary. Like that's not fun. And so if it's not out there, we create it. And a lot of mom groups were really hostile also. And I was pregnant with my first and then my second and then my third. And I never felt like there was a space that I could feel like you're describing. And I'm like, this is a hostile territory. You know, people are attacking people and everybody's mad at everybody. And so I'm like, well, I'm just going to make my own space that it doesn't feel like that, you know, where you can have an epidural if you want, or you can choose a C-section if you want, or you can go lay on a yoga mat on the floor and pop one out, like do it however you want. But either way, we're going to welcome you and you're going to feel safe. So yeah, that's kind of been the intention. And then to speak a little bit about the containers, because I know that that's sometimes a newer concept to a lot of my community too, is this concept of these energetic containers. I think of like all of the areas of my business, everything has energy, and even virtual containers have their own energy, right? So the energy of this podcast episode, right now we're all on Zoom, there's four of us, we're all sitting looking at each other, there's an energy in this container together. When I work one-on-one with a client, like I have an idea of what it feels like in that energetic container. So there's all these like pockets that are different containers in the business.
Yeah. And I think that's why the way I teach too, is I just try to, when I teach virtually, I just try and bring that same energy that I would have in a in-person class to the online class. I haven't figured out how to do that with pre-recorded yet, because I look like a stone statue and talk like a monotone, ridiculous person. But I'll get there. Mm-hmm. Practice makes perfect.
It does. It does.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love the visual you gave of the containers. As someone who is very visual and someone who loves to segment things so I can cope with them, you know, do things in segments so that no one thing seems overwhelming. That really resonated with me, is it, and not even necessarily about, you know, pouring my love into this particular thing, but the segment of visualizing what the purpose is of this particular container, what we want to support, how much energy it's going to require, and the intention of that container. Mm-hmm. Whether it be you setting up your chores, setting up your business, setting up how you support clients and the time you put into that, the digital side of it, parenting, you know, to have those visuals and what your intention is for those containers of time, or containers of intent, really makes a lot of sense. How long did it take you to how long did it take you to put into words the way that you did those things?
Oh, that's really good. I would say only in probably the last 6 months or so, there's been a deep evolution for me with the way that my understanding of the energetics. Kim knows the story, but probably 6 months ago, I started being visited by snakes, and I despise snakes. I can do Florida. I do not like snakes. I am more afraid of snakes than alligators, right?
Oh my God.
I know. And
Suzanne is like now perched upon her chair.
And I started getting visited by them. Like literally there was one in my home and I was the only one home. And I'm like, it was such an experience. I have a whole podcast episode about it because it was really, really profound. And when I started to dig deeper at the symbolism of snakes, they're a sign of transformation. And, you know, like the skin sheds its skin and it reemerges multiple times, right? It's this rebirth that the snakes are having over and over again. So the symbolism of snakes is really important, and it helped me come around. And now I did look up to God and the universe. And I was like, listen, okay, I'm here for the snakes, not in person. I just want to see the pictures. It's fine.
I can do virtual snakes, but I cannot do in-person snakes.
None in person. That wasn't funny. I didn't like that a bit. So none of that, please. And thank you. So it was around that time. Like I just felt a lot of things shifting within me, and I do quite a bit. My ongoing education for myself isn't like learning how to, you know, digital marketing 101 type, like I'm not really doing that kind of thing. The way that I'm doing ongoing education is a lot more like on a spiritual level and understanding the energetics. And so it gave me more language to what I was doing that I really didn't even know. I didn't have the words for it a few years ago. I just was like in the shower and I'm like, what does this container feel like? Or I didn't even say container. I'm like, what does this group feel like? This group feels like I'm pouring hearts into it. Like I'm just pouring hugs and love. And then it started to evolve. And now, probably in like the last six months, my understanding of it has gotten deeper because I've been playing with the energetics in the business.
I love that, because we often do things for so long without knowing or understanding why we find comfort in doing those, or even why it becomes our strength. But then once you can put your finger on it, it's like, oh my goodness, I can take this in a whole other direction. I can use this to fulfill myself, because now I understand why I'm doing it this way. Wow. And I imagine that will then play over into how you're coaching people and letting them know that this is available to everybody if you take the time to define it.
Yeah, it does. And that's right. You know what? It was, so Kim mentioned at the beginning, I was writing down notes, and now is a perfect time, I think, to talk about it because of what you said. You gave me like a lead into this thought I wrote down. Like she said, you know, nothing that you're sharing is like groundbreaking, right? And it's true. I truly believe that like nothing is really original. Even in birth, right? Like birth is birth is birth. Birth has always been birth. The key is that we have deeper understanding of it. You know, we are evolving how we think about it. We're deprogramming what we were led to believe about birth, and we're helping others do the same. But also it's the people. It's the people that are our guides. It's the match with the specific guide. So like Kim coming into my space and becoming part of it, I'm not speaking about anything that I'm sure other people are talking about in the world. I don't know. It's the way that I share about it. And more specifically, the journey that I had been on that made us a match. So example, I have a lot of clients. So here's an example that I think people would find helpful that are listening, like birth workers. There's a lot of birth workers that I've supported that have been like, well, I don't really want to share my birth story, or I don't want to do like, what does my stuff matter? And how can I really help? I had a traumatic birth and I don't want to tell anybody. And, you know, I'm not saying you have to share your whole life. I never, ever will say that. You have boundaries and you honor your boundaries with whatever you want to share, period. However, I do believe that even the person who has had what they think is a boring birth story or a crummy story or a hard life or all of these things, you are the person to help your specific people because you have now been coded that way. You are an energetic match for the people you're here to help. You're lining up with them. It's your unique way that you talk about it. It's the way you understand it, because of the experiences you've had. So for example, with me, the C-section, then the VBAC with an epidural in the hospital, and then the home birth, the unassisted home birth. It was those experiences that made me a match for the people I've helped in their ways. So I don't think that there's really anything original. I think there's space for all of us to do our thing, share our work, help our people, because we were specifically taken on this journey for a reason. Also with my background in business, right? Like because I studied business in school, because I was in corporate real estate finance. And then when I started the fashion blog, I wasn't meant to talk about having a fashion blog, but I had to learn how to build a website, you know, and the fashion blog taught me how to build a website. It taught me how to start an email marketing thing. I never knew what that stuff was before. It taught me how to write a post on Instagram. Like I learned all of those things for the next step. So all of these things that you learn along the journey, they are important. And like you said, you know, to go back to what you said originally, Steph, like when you look back and you realize like, oh, that's why I had to do that. That's why I had to have that thing happen to me, because I learned what I needed for the next steps of how I can help.
Yeah, 100%.
I love that. And I want to ask you, and you can answer here, or you can tell me after the podcast or whatever, because so I have family in Florida. And so my cousins often send me questions about birthing in Florida. And I've done some advocacy that way. And I know a couple of midwives down there, but I'm always open to hearing about any midwife who's willing to attend a home birth VBAC. Because I know your birthing centers are not, you're not allowed to attend a VBAC at a birthing center, but you can choose home birth or hospital. Mm-hmm. So if you're willing to share her name here, who is willing to attend a home VBAC in supportive of that, or after the podcast, I would love to hear who that is.
Yeah, definitely. I'm happy to share. I did not work with her personally for my birth. Mm-hmm. Because again, my husband was like, we're not doing it at home. And I was like, okay. But sure. I love her. Her name is Charlie. And I cannot remember right now what the name of her specific, she has an organization here called Community Roots. It's amazing. They do such great work in Tampa. So shout out Community Roots. The midwife is Charlie. But again, I cannot remember the name of her midwifery practice. And there's also a doula organization like housed underneath the Community Roots Collective. It's a really cool place. Like they have this in-person location in town, and they have, the midwife has a space where she practices. There's also like space for the doulas to meet their clients. There's a chiropractor that comes in, you know, frequently that you can pop in. They have like all kinds of classes for expecting parents, breastfeeding, baby and me classes. There's just loads, and they're doing such great work in our community. I wish there was even more of them and they could duplicate themselves, but that's the first one that comes to mind. And Florida is a little bit, I think that things are changing, you know, they are, that as things do, and they're getting better thanks to the amazing birth people that are in this town. Like they really are doing huge work for us because it's wild needed. And yeah, V-backing is not possible in a birth center as of right now here.
Yeah. Thank you.
No problem.
I had to throw that in there.
Yeah.
Steph's our resident V-back cesarean doula.
Yeah. And I have a sort of a pragmatic question for you. So if somebody's just finished their doula training and they're really anxious and excited to get started, could you share with us just a couple or three things that they really should be focusing on right off the bat? What should brand new doulas be focusing on right off the bat in terms of business, mm-hmm. right? Because they've done their doula training. They might even have, like I had when I did my doula training, lots of birth experience, but no experience at all in setting up a new business. What are the, you know, few things that you should really be focusing on right away?
I'm so glad you asked that. Because at the beginning, I was all about structure, and you need the website and you need a marketing plan and you know, right? Like business background. I'm like, okay, we're going to approach this like a businesswoman and we're going to have da 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 da, right? And you can build all of the things. But the piece that was missing for me that I wish somebody would have told me early on is the energy work and how important the energy work is. So you can do the logistical things and have the website and the Instagram and the logos and all of these things. But in my opinion, and in my experience, personal experience, they can only go so far if you haven't done the energy side of it. So that's really where I think that I can help a lot is I had to walk that line for myself and figure that out. And what I would suggest in the beginning is starting with the energy work, because the logistics, they will fall into place and they're not the most important thing, right? Like having a website is not required to do your important work. It really isn't. Having an Instagram is not required to do your important work. But what is knowing exactly what you want to do, how you want to do it, who you want to do it with, like getting really clear and why. So starting with your mission and really centering in and sitting in your mission. What am I doing? What do I want to do? Like, who do I want to help? How do I want to help them? The more clear you get on that, in my experience, and then to bring in the conversation about energetically, it's kind of like, okay, so this, my, our VBAC, resident VBAC doula will appreciate this. So when I was preparing for Liv's birth, my second, which was my first VBAC, I didn't know, I didn't have the words yet. I was doing a lot of visualization. I had started reading Gabby Bernstein books and I was like, okay, I'm gonna do some visualization. And I would lay in bed and I'll close my eyes and I would try to imagine what it would look like if my VBAC was a movie. And I would play the movie in my mind over and over and over again. As often as I could, I would think about this movie and listen, that birth was like the movie that I thought about. It was like do 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 do, but it was that's what it was. And now I have the words. I was creating a broadcast energetically for what I wanted to experience.
That mind body connection that comes with birth
is so powerful. You know, like doulas do so much mindset work with their clients. And then when we talk business, I'm like, why aren't we bringing the mindset work into business? There's space for it here. It's important here too. Mm-hmm. And so when you're starting and you're getting clear on your mission, you're centering your mission, what broadcast can you create to put that vibration out for the kind of business that you want to build and the people you want to help? That's more potent and more powerful than like the perfect website and the perfect logo. Nobody really gives a crap about logos. I mean, they're cute and they can be beautiful. I love a good logo. Don't get me wrong. I geek out because I do have the business background and I really like marketing. But to me, the more potent piece is that broadcast, you know, really getting intentional with the broadcast for the kind of business, because then all the other things become so much easier. You have clarity when you know, oh, this is what I want to do. it becomes so much easier to make a logo. You're not like, oh my gosh, I can't figure out what kind of logo do I want this? Do I want an apple in my logo or do I want that? Or it's like, no, crystal clear. This is what I'm doing. This is who I'm doing it with. This is what the logo can look like. Let's move. You know, whatever decisions need to be made, I find much easier to make.
So I have to tell you, just as a little full circle moment, literally right up until we were starting to podcast, I was listening to Gabby Bernstein. Just full circle, energetic moment for a moment there. And as soon as you said that, I was like, oh, this is like really weird.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's some woo-woo, as we call it.
That's some woo-woo shit right there.
But, yeah. You know, coming back to also the broadcast, we have spoken on this podcast in depth about the wide variety of how we birth across this earth, you know, and there are, because I love to watch how different communities work. There are some indigenous communities or just communities that still live in a very small community mindset or a very traditional community mindset where women who are pregnant or those who are pregnant will come to the resident wise person of birth in their community. And that resident wise person of birth will like lay hands on them and sit with them and talk with them and say, you will give birth 3 days after the new moon. And they send you home to think on that, to imagine that, to view it as happening, how you feel on the first day of the new moon, the second day of the new moon, how your body's going to feel coming into the third day of the new moon. And they have you do work on preparing yourself emotionally for the third day after the new moon. And it is like that. They literally send you home with the knowledge that A, your baby is going to arrive, B, they'll arrive here, and your job is just to get your body and your mind ready. Mm-hmm. Because babies come.
Yeah.
And it's like one of their biggest pieces of knowledge is knowing that they need to give you the time, the space, and the words, the function to go home and prepare for your baby. Not wondering if it's going to happen, but it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So here's what you need to do going forward. And it often happens just as they say it's going to happen, just as they've discussed with you after hearing about what your concerns are, if you have any, or what your worries are, or anything along those lines. They give you the work to do and it's just accepted. Okay, we've spoken to the wise person. The wise person knows we're going to go home, and the whole family accepts mm-hmm. that the wise person knows. And so everyone supports you in doing the things that need to happen for you to have a welcoming for your baby.
And then your mind and body prepares for that. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think, so when we go back to business, when you were talking, I remember a couple of weeks ago when we were on the Q&A, we had talked about, or you had talked about, you know, there's so many marketing business things that are like, who is your ideal client? And you get hair color and race and where they live and what kind of house they live in. And, you know, how many bedrooms does the house have? And do they have a dog or do they have a cat? And, but the way you did it was like, forget all that. How does it feel to work with this person? Who do you want to attract that will make you feel XYZ? And when you think about it, it's like, when we go back and look over like 16, 20 years of doing this, who have been the clients that you have loved working with the most? They have been the clients that didn't necessarily, you know, fit your mold, but they were the ones that had that same energy that you did, that like absorbed all the stuff that you wanted to say. They were the ones that, you know, you just met them and you clicked, you fit together. Mm-hmm. And it's like, shit, yeah. And they didn't fall into this vision I had of who my ideal client was. They weren't even necessarily, you know, like, are they white? Are they Asian? Are they? And it's like, none of that fit in what I thought, but I felt such a connection with them and the energy flow between us was so good. It's like, yeah, that when you said that, I was like, yep, that's it. It's about broadcasting out there, which I do. And I try to do in class is broadcasting out there who I am as a person and that magnetic energy to come back to you. Right.
Yeah.
I love too, when you know, you mentioned you just have that wonderful connection yesterday after we were, you know, cause all of us, Nicole, the three of us are in like an ongoing chat through the day. I was thinking about something to ask you and Kim and Suzanne, but I don't think I got around to asking him, like, do you ever just have that connection with the family where you're everyone connected so well, and the birth, you know, regardless of whether it was a C-section birth or a vaginal birth or a home birth, everything connected so well and everyone felt so well supported and everyone just jived so well that, you know, a few months after they have a baby, you're like, man, I really hope they have another baby so we can hang out again, yeah. So we can all be together again, you know? And it, I think it's, maybe it sounds a little self-centered because I want it for myself, but, and I was literally just talking to a client a couple of days ago who was asking about going away and leaving her baby who's still breastfeeding, or her toddler who's still breastfeeding, and how she felt about it, X, Y, Z. And she, and I, after getting off that chat with her, I was just like, man, I hope you have another baby, you know? Because her baby's at the toddlerhood too. And you know, I want to start dropping the hints. I'm like, you know, you could totally just have another baby and I'll meet you at home. You know, I'll bring the tub again. All will be well. And I really hope that that works out. But yeah, you have that energetic connection to a family where you're just like, man, it's like you're part of my community now.
Yep.
You know, not just a client or anything like that, but you become part of their community.
And you know,
and then all those superficial parameters that we think make the perfect client actually fall away.
Yeah,
they fall away. That connection, when I think about the clients that I've worked with, that immediately jump into my head because we've had that connection. They're all so different. They're all so different, except that they're superficially different, except for the fact that I was able to make that connection with them.
Yeah.
They were drawn to you with the energy that you put out there. That's right.
As I was drawn to them. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. Okay. It is the energy. And that's part that I didn't necessarily share earlier when I was introducing like what got me to this point. Kim knows, but I hadn't shared it, is I also I became a practitioner of an energy healing modality. So that helped me have the words, Steph, for like the energetics of my business, right? But I started doing energy healing work. The modality is called Expansion Principle. And I was, I took the practitioner training in 2019, but I took it initially for my kids because I wanted to do parenthood differently than what I had experienced. And I just didn't have the tools. And I didn't know, I just felt like something needed to be different. I just didn't know how, and I didn't know what to do. And you're looking around online, reading, I'm looking up at my little stack of books and like all the books in the world. And I just felt like nothing was giving me that peace. So I started using it with the kids and I continued to use it with the kids, but eventually I got confident enough to start using it in my business and bringing, a lot of birth workers are familiar with Reiki. So Reiki is another energy healing modality. It's just a different one. And there's lots of them, I think, like different modalities. It's not Reiki, but it's an energy healing modality. And I do it virtually. I do it distance for the online business school. I do it for my one-on-one clients. I do it with my children. I do it on myself. And it's given me a deeper understanding of energetics. And so, as you were saying, Suzanne, like it is the energy. It is. It's what it was so powerful to attract those folks into your space and to help you become a magnet for each other and establishing, really, you were an energetic magnet. You were a magnet for that experience. They were a magnet for that experience, no matter what they look like, where they come from, what their income level is, what kind of car they drive. None of that really matters. You know, it's the energy and it's powerful. So powerful and beautiful. Like some of the people I've gone deep working with one-on-one, sometimes it's not until months and months later that we're having a discussion and, you know, they get comfortable opening up and sharing something with me. And I'm like, of course we're working together. No wonder you found me, because I have walked that path, even though there's a lot of things that, you know, I don't share publicly, going back to the boundaries conversation, right? I have boundaries too. And I share quite a bit, but there's things I don't share because boundaries and comfort level. And so things come up and I'm like, huh, who knew that I had to experience that and that you were going to come in so that I could guide you through it too. So yeah, I think that the energy is it. It is. And you know, when it's those people, you know it, because it feels like, so I'm a tire man's daughter. My dad just sold his business after 38 years. He had a used tire shop in Tampa, Florida, and it was a big deal. He's an immigrant. So he came to the U.S. when he was fresh out of the army, and had nothing and built up and worked hard his entire life. And so as a tire man's daughter, one of the things that I've seen a lot throughout my life is, you know, the wheel locks, the tire lock things that they have to put it on to unlock your, it just has to go right into place. And so that example was really helpful for me to understand that, like, the like clicking, it clicks into place. And that is perfect. It's a perfect match because it clicks and it unlocks the wheel so they can change your tire. And that's what I think about the feeling that you have with the family or with that person when you start working. You're like, it's the click. And you're like, this is it. This is them. They're here. They've arrived. Like, we're not meant to help everybody. We're not supposed to. And that would be a horrible world if we had one doula. Like, how terrible would that be? Because what if we wouldn't like that person just because? What if our energy didn't feel good with them? We didn't feel safe with them. That would be terrible. And they couldn't support everybody. So like, we all have to be out here doing our own, in our own lane, doing our own thing, our own way, because that's how we can find the people that we click with, you know?
It's funny. I had long, long time ago, I had been a doula maybe 7 or 8 years. And I went to an interview back when I left the house. I went to the interview and the couple had also interviewed somebody else. And I was so cocky at that point because I'd been like, I'd never lost an interview. I was the shit. Okay. At least that's what I thought. I always asked, so are you interviewing other doulas? Oh, who? Because I also wanted to know like who I was up against. This was the competitive side of me. She didn't exist anymore. But they said, you know, they said a name, I can't remember who it was. And that they said, you know, but they'd just taken their training. And I could see there was like, oh, yeah. I said, you know what? It doesn't matter how experienced they are. If you clicked with that doula, then that is the doula for you. If there's, you know, if that's who you want, then that's the way you need to go. How did you feel with this person? Did you feel safe? Did you feel like they could give you what you needed? And I said, look, think about it. I could even be their backup. If you wanted that, we could talk. I could talk with the new doula and all this stuff. And they ended up going with her. And I was like, yeah, you know what? Because I didn't have, even though I had all the experience in the world and I could have, you know, helped really, really well, even I knew that there wasn't a connection there. Like, they were lovely and I would have loved to have worked with them, but they had that magnetic connection with this other doula who had, you know, maybe like one birth under her belt. And it's like, yeah, then that's that experience, because it's not about what you know, it's about how they're going to feel when everything is said and done. And do they feel safe? Do they feel supported? Do they feel like this was a good experience? That's the key. It's not what you know, it's how you are, what you're bringing to them to make them feel safe and loved and protected and supported, right?
And we've all got bitten in the ass too when you've gone to sit with a family and connected with them, or thought, or not connected with them, like you've kind of just gone through the motions of doing your interview with them and it feels good, but not necessarily a connection. Mm-hmm. And you might even feel a sense of I've had this where I've gotten a sense of desperation from the family because they're just so worried about everything and they want to latch on to the first person who has a lot of experience, but they're not tapped into how they're actually feeling about the connection. And we've all done it as a doula. We've taken on the client. And through the whole thing, it feels like you're doing your job, but you're not doing it well because there's not actually, we're not doing it as well as when you have the connection. You're not feeling it. You're doing the steps, you're giving them the information, you're showing up and doing all the things, but no one really feels like they're getting what they could get if they had energetically matched with the person.
Right.
And sometimes that goes all the way to the other end, and like where I need to come down from something and talk to you guys.
I need
where
to get the hell out of there. So
absolute chaos, choosing to work with a particular family where I ignored that thing that said, this is not the right, not just this isn't a match. This is not the right match.
I've walked out of interviews going, please don't hire me. Please don't hire me. Please don't hire me. And then they did. And I was like, shit. like, I mean, who has a new doula, like a doula that's only been doing this, you know, back in the day when it was like, you know, nobody knew what doulas were, where you're like, God, please don't hire me. Please don't hire me. But it's like, cause that I did not mesh with them. I did not connect with them. We were on completely different levels and it showed.
I think that there's a shift happening in awareness at this time though, that wasn't there when I first started doing this work, when I was hepped up at every interview on impressing them with the great package that I'm offering and my experience and so on and so forth. And let me just demonstrate this amazing double hip squeeze that I've got going here and all of that. And I have over the last, now that I'm thinking about it, I didn't think about it before this conversation, but somebody just contacted me recently over the last couple of days from checking out my Instagram, which is like been sorely neglected, but whatever, whatever's there is there. And she said,
and hacked.
I totally love the energy you give out. And I was just like, yeah, okay, whatever, whatever that means. But now that I'm thinking about it, I've heard that word several times over the last little while. And I'm like, I think more people are becoming more aware of this, as am I. Like now I'm realizing that little thing inside of you that says, yeah, these people, these are my people. That click, when you walk away, you're standing at the elevator and you're feeling that feeling about these potential clients, I'm paying more attention to that. And so now I'm understanding when people say, I love your energy. I love the energy that you give out. I've heard that several times. So I'm thinking more people are becoming more aware of it, more in tune to it. There's a shift that's happening and it's good. And the more of us, the more we tap into it, the bigger it will be. So
if we'd had this conversation 10 years ago, it'd be like, stupid.
Yeah, I would have been like,
what the fuck kind of woo-woo crap is that?
Nonsense. I can't dumb. Give me a break. How much do you cost? That's all I want to know.
Well, and that comes back to this coaching too, right, Nicole? Like you, when someone is looking for a coach, we can, you know, we're sitting here with you now having this opportunity to exchange ideas and thoughts and processes and things like that. And on paper, often people look really, really awesome. Feedback is awesome, all of these things, but energetically they might not align. So if you are meeting with somebody, or if we're talking to new doulas who are looking for someone to kind of coach them, help them with their clarity and things along those lines, what questions do you think new doulas should be asking when they are looking for, asking of themselves, not so much of the coach, because I think we can get an idea of a coach's style really honestly from their, well, I guess I could say from Instagram, but some Instagrams are highly curated and it isn't reflective. It's just something that's really done well business-wise, like someone's so much, they might not have even have done it themselves. So if someone is looking out to figure out what the right connection is for them, what should a new doula be considering?
Oh, that's good. It's still going to go back to that, trusting that feeling you have. But the problem is, I think, is that a lot of us, especially if you're in the over 20 years old crowd, I think the younger kids, like going back to what you said just now, Suzanne, like I do think there's a collective consciousness shift happening where people are becoming more open and understanding at a deeper level. And that vibration is out there. It's a frequency that's out there. If you want to tap into it, it's available, right? You just have to tune in. And so I think people are doing that. The issue in my experience is that what we've learned, the education system in Florida, education, I'll speak for me in Florida, the public education system, we did not learn how to listen to our feelings to guide ourselves. We didn't learn that. We learned that when you go to a family function, you hug the awkward uncle. You have to hug the people. Even if your body is like, you know, they feel bad. They feel creepy. I don't like being around that person. You know, you're not taught to listen to your feelings. It's something that I had to learn how to do as an adult. At first I was like, cry. I don't do that. My eyes don't leak. Like there's so much protection that I had over my feelings. Like I'm fine. I'm just fine. But actually, I wasn't. And so when I started to learn how to be guided by, listen to what's happening in here and allow it to be my guidance, it's helped me. And I have been in situations where I've hired, you know, so to speak from the consumer angle, if you have birth workers who are looking to hire somebody to make a logo or to do your website or for coaching, I've hired people for things. I've hired coaches, mentors, Facebook ads specialists, and I've had some pretty crummy experiences because I didn't listen to my guidance. And so I've spent an embarrassing amount of money learning lessons because that's generally how my human design type needs to learn, is through experiences. So I have experiences, some great, some not so great. So I've had experiences where I've hired people that I didn't trust what I was feeling. You know, my brain was like, well, their package is really good and their numbers speak for themselves and they'll help you get the results for the thing that they're helping you to do. And I didn't listen to that feeling that was like, hey, wait, this doesn't feel 100%. I didn't listen to it. And I ended up like not having a great experience. I've had alternative where that little whisper got really loud. Like, you need to talk to her. You need to go talk to her right now. And she keeps showing up. Somehow when I open up Instagram, the algorithm gods are like, bing, here, read this post. And it lands first. And I'm like, And trusting where you feel guided. If you feel pulled to something, their logo doesn't matter. Their aesthetic on their feed doesn't matter. You know, somebody came to your Instagram feed, right, Suzanne, and was like, I feel your energy. Your energy feels good. The potency of your space, even if it's something like Instagram, people can feel it. And so trust where you're guided, trust how you feel when you're in that person's energy, whether it's watching a video they did, listening to their podcast, or if you're on a discovery call with them, right? And the more I trust that inner guidance, even if it makes zero freaking sense, because I have made decisions in the last 6 months that logically do not make sense. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at myself like, have you lost your ever-loving mind? And I'm almost embarrassed to like tell my husband sometimes the things that I'm doing on a personal level. And then I realize months in, I'm like, you're doing the right thing. It makes sense to you. That's all that matters. The traditional school of thought, the way that we were taught how to do business would tell me not to do things like that. But I had to start to learn how to trust me, because you are your best guidance. You really are. And it's helpful to have people along the journey. What I would start looking for, if I was looking for a vendor or service provider, a coach, anything like that, a mentor, is have they walked this, like, what has their journey been like? You know, have they experienced that? And sometimes you don't know. Sometimes you don't know for sure that they've had a comparable experience that what you're having deep inside. You don't know until you get into these conversations with them in private and you're like, oh my gosh. But you look and see, like, are they doing it? Example, to give it context, like hiring a trainer, you know, we're going to hire a personal trainer, probably somebody who shows up and who cares about their body and who wants to take good care of their body. If I was picking a personal trainer, which I don't have a trainer, I'm a Peloton fan, but if I were going into the gym and picking a trainer, I'm probably not going to pick a trainer who's like, I can help you lose 20 pounds in 30 days and lose this many inches off your waistline. I don't give a crap about that. That would not be an aligned support for me. I would come to somebody who would say something like, I want you to feel so good. I want you to nourish the hell out of your body so that you wake up and you're like, I love you, body. What can I do for you today? That would be my kind of person. So it's picking the person who's where you want to go, those next steps, you know? And if you switch the role for a second and you look at yourself as the guide, as a doula, part of your job is guiding. We're not necessarily here to guide people that aren't a match. So example, I probably wouldn't be the right coach or the right doula. Let's say doula. I probably wouldn't be the right doula for somebody who's had 9 babies. Probably not the right person for them, right? Like my experience level. Mentor, coach. I probably wouldn't be the right mentor for somebody running a 7-figure business. Probably not. Because generally I'm helping people who are just like 10% right behind me on their journey. They just need to go the next step. You know, and so you are generally helping people right behind where you are. So saying things like, well, I'm not good at this. I can't do this. I can't help anybody. Who wants my help? I'm inexperienced. The people who don't have experience, mm-hmm. the people who you've learned just a little bit more than them, that's who needs your help. So to answer your question, like if they're looking for support in any area, you know, it's really to check in with your inner guidance system, your little compass, and be like, all right, how does this person feel? And if everything else lines up, their price, their package, their offering, then trust yourself. Because mentally, logically, you can talk yourself out of some of the best things that you might need along the journey. I could have talked myself out of some amazing decisions I've made, like the energy healing practitioner. Several years ago, I had no clue what energy, I'm like, energy what? I was just completely oblivious. And luckily my mentor took me under her wing and she was like, okay. And she gave me some examples that really helped me contextualize it. And over time I started to evolve and learn, but had I closed that door and been like, I am not a healer. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't do that. Then I would have missed out on this beautiful thing that I have that like has changed my motherhood experience. And that I bring into my clients' businesses and all the things. So, trusting yourself and not letting your mind shut it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I love that. I love what you just said about helping somebody who's just like 10% behind you. Cause that reminded me of another homeschooling thing that I read about where children learn best from somebody who's just one step ahead of them. So you don't put the kid who's just learning how to sound out words with somebody, if you're doing like reading buddies in school or something, which was very popular here a while ago, you put them with the kid who just knows a little bit more than them, just maybe like one grade ahead. You don't put them with somebody who's like, you know, five grades ahead, because it feels like, oh, I'm never going to get there. And that's true, because I remember joining some free webinar thing with somebody who claimed to be making like $1 million or $700,000 off of their course or something that they'd created. And it just felt so incredibly overwhelming, out of place, not belonging. Also, there were like, I don't know, so many people on this webinar. I felt insignificant, like I didn't matter. And I never went back again after that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that really resonates with me that you do people who you learn best from somebody who's just ahead of you. And it is best to help people who are just behind you a little bit. And that's where the most growth happens.
This is a great opportunity then for when we do things like this, like we have a podcast or someone does a free option. I know there's so many people that really frown upon anything being free because your energy is never free. However, what it is like you've opened a door for someone to understand who you are and find out if you're the match, mm-hmm. right? Because we can, and like you said, Suzanne, we're having this opening, this awareness of the importance of those energetic connections, that we are understanding that throwing our money out there first and then finding out afterwards that someone might not be an energetic match because of what they look like on paper. You know, it's now we have the opportunities with this. Maybe this is why podcasting and some free offerings or some, little things, little snippets you can find on Instagram, on YouTube of interviews that people do and such really give you a better idea, probably more than anything you're going to see someone write online, mm-hmm. you know, but yeah. actually hearing someone talk. So just a client who I spoke with last week, who we were a great energetic match. As soon as I opened this interview with them, they both had on Raptors shirts and I'm like, my people. and she's like, oh my gosh. And she like whipped up her leg and she showed me she had a Raptors tattoo on her leg too. And we had this great conversation about almost anything else but birth. We talked about her birth for maybe 10 minutes and that she's going for a VBAC. And she's like, I listened to your podcast and I didn't really get a lot of it, but I liked what you were saying. And then I had listened to you on someone else's podcast. We talked about everything but birth. Mm-hmm. And 10 minutes after I got off that call, they messaged me. They're like, okay, so where do I need to send the paperwork? And that's what it is. And that's why, I mean, the consultations too with clients ahead of time are so important, both for you as the doula or the coach or the person who's looking to hire. Like it's so important for everybody to do that. And I know that not everyone does. Some people call into an agency, ask the agency owner to match them with someone, and they book without ever having had an interview or a consultation because it's just it's just something to check off. Yeah, got to respect those people too. And got to respect those doulas who are just like, yeah, I can do it for anybody.
Yeah.
Because they're not looking for their work to be their energetic match. They're looking for their work to sustain them enough to make energetic matches in other places in their life, with their family, with travel. One of my teacher friends says she's a good teacher. She says, I'm a really good teacher, but it is not my big fulfilling thing, despite spending a lot of hours with it. She goes, but it allows me to travel with my children, mm-hmm. to book that time off, to experience all of the other things I want to experience by doing something I'm good at, but is not necessarily my big fulfilling thing. My big fulfilling thing is it gives me the money to do the other things.
That's amazing pragmatism.
Right.
It's very pragmatic. And I was absolutely blown away the first time she said that out loud. And it almost felt shameful. I'm like, I'm sorry, what'd you say? Like, teaching isn't the be all end all for you. And she's like, well, I'm good at it. And I'm comfortable saying I'm good at it, but I'm not, my whole being is not invested in it. My whole being is invested with my three children. And I had this bucket list of things since I was like 10 years old that I want to do. And I found out that teaching is something I do well. And, but I might feel my joy when I'm walking through Venice with my three kids and we're all experiencing these things together. And that's where her joy is, but it's not in her line of work.
Exactly.
She doesn't,
okay.
It is absolutely okay. Your job does not have to be the be all end all. Your life can be the be all end all. And your job can just be the thing that gets you energetically the monies in order to pay for those other experiences.
Knowing where to invest that energy and knowing where your energy is best well spent. Those are some very big life skills.
Yep.
Absolutely. 100%. Absolutely. And she knew it before she ever even got into teaching. She's just like, I know that I'm good at it.
And we often, because this work of ours, birth work, it is romanticized a lot and it is like heart work. And so to hear a teacher saying that, like you said, was kind of like, what? To hear a doula say that would also be jarring. This is not my heart work. I will do this work like the people who work with agencies because it pays my bills and it allows me to have a cottage or to whatever it is that is your heart work. Mm-hmm. So that's okay too. That's yeah. That's a knowing that about yourself is important.
Very absolutely. Important. And for the birthing parent who doesn't put much stock in having a large emotional experience in her birthing, or in their birthing, but that, you know, barring safety, that their whole purpose is in the raising of the child and not the birthing of the child.
Yeah.
You know, so that might be the right energetic match for somebody who is not looking to create a deep connection that many of the rest of us can't help but make during a whole new person coming into this world.
Yeah. Wow. This has been
awesome.
Been such a great discussion. Is there anything, Nicole, that you'd like to leave us with? Is there anything you'd like to promote as well? What can we, how can people find you? How can people?
Steph, you keep teeing me up. Like, yeah, because you talked about free stuff and I was like, ooh, I want to help with free stuff because there is so much. There can be, not there is, there can be so much feedback, some great, some not so great about free things. And do I do free things in my business? Do I do low price? You know, what do I do? It's not the same for everybody. Business is not a one size fits all, particularly in this part of the conversation with like pricing and what's free versus what's paid, right? So I built my business with a lot of free things. And I know that a lot of people were probably pissed about that at first, and that's okay. But that was an opportunity it's what felt right to me. But I built strategically with free things. I still have quite a bit of free things out in the world. And the beautiful thing about free things, like you were saying, is it gives people an opportunity to really connect with your energy before making an investment decision. And the way, one of the newer things that I'm bringing into and embodying in the way that I sell and the way I promote my business is through the lens of buyers. If I were the buyer, how would I want people to talk to me? If I were the buyer, how would I want people to treat me? If I were the buyer, because really, like, I'm going to be joined by a three-year-old here in a second. Hi, babe. The cutest three-year-old on the planet, if I do say so. So if I were the buyer, how would I feel about this person and what they're offering and how they're doing things and how they're selling. People want to have experiences. They want you to teach them. They want to hire you, but they don't necessarily want to be sold to in the old ways that the good old boys marketed. Like, it's creepy and gross and it's not required. So I like doing free things sometimes. I think Kim said earlier in the beginning, can I sit on my lap? I think Kim said earlier in the beginning that she came to some of my free stuff, right? And I have a free podcast. I have free resources on my website, a free guided meditation for your business. What are we doing here? Are we like,
rock on.
Yeah. Rock on. So that kind of tees me up for a free event. I'm doing a free event, another one, because I like it. And as a buyer, I appreciate it. It gives me an opportunity to feel what it feels like to work in this person's, be in this person's space, work with them. I also like the connection. You know, I too didn't get out a whole lot until fairly recently. I was, you know, like basically underwater with three young kids. And so you want her? Yeah. Well, you can take her if you want. I'll be out in just a minute.
Ask the three-year-old who doesn't know the game.
Yeah. So they're shutting the door. Sorry. Sorry about that. Husband saved the day. Yeah. So I like having these experiences because it gives me an opportunity to connect with people. I like to get to know people too. And I don't like buying things until I kind of know what this person is like. And so it gives people the opportunity to have an experience with me and get to know me and feel what I feel like and hear how I talk about business, particularly outside of social media. Like when we're on Zoom and it's more private, it's not going to be on a podcast, right? Like it's different. And I feel like I can go a little deeper. We get deeper. So I'm hosting a free experience and it's coming up in May. It's going to be May 10th, 11th, and 12th. And it's called Energetic Business Foundation. You don't have to memorize it. I'll send you the free link. It's a free thing. It's a free event. It's 3 days. It's virtual. I'm replay queen because I notoriously miss live events because you just experienced part of why. She's 3 years old. So I rely on replays when I attend things. So I love to provide replays. So if you miss it live, it's fine. The replay will be there. If you sign up, it's free, but registration is required. And it's going to teach you what an energetic business foundation is. And we've kind of flirted with the concept a little bit in this episode, but it's really going to take a deep dive into understanding the energy of your business. Because having that understanding for my business was really profound and was what changed my business from, like, honestly, I was making virtually $0 for a very long time. And I'm like, how is this going to be sustainable? And I felt like throwing in the towel like three times a week for a very, very long time until I was like, fine. And I'm crossing my arms for anybody listening. I'm like, fine, I will face my crap. And I started to do some of this deeper work and then things started to really unfold. And it's alignment. It's lining up. It's that click, click with the tires, right? And things started to do that. And they've continued to do that. So teaching people to how to establish that foundation, because that is, in my opinion, way more powerful than a business plan. We can't start with the business plan. You can't start with the birth plan. You have to start with deprogramming and cleaning out and having a foundation, a clear foundation of what you've been led to believe is true about birth first. If you're building a birth plan, carrying all of that old stuff, there's some interference, right? So squeaky clean, clean it out. One of my mentors that I've bought courses from her, she describes it as like squeaky clean energy, squeaky clean. So we start with doing squeaky clean on the business end so that you can build the six-figure business or whatever it is, you know, whatever it is you desire, the business that lights you up. So that's what I'm doing in May. And you're more than welcome to come. It's open to birth workers and any heart-centered entrepreneurs. You know, if you're into massage therapy or energy healing modalities or anything, it really is not limited to birth work. It's just that tends to be who I love talking to because, you know, hashtag birth nerd forever. So it's my favorite people in the world, like aside from my family, right? But like birth workers are my favorite people because I just can't say enough. Like, it's such important work. And the domino effect, in case anybody's listening, that you ever for a minute doubt the impact of what you're doing, the domino effect of your work is going to be felt for generations to come. Mm-hmm. It's not just the family that you're in the room with. You know, those babies have a different coding now because you guided and you were there and you helped change their experience, they are going to carry that into their own birth if they choose to have families, and their friends and the people around them are going to feel that from them. It's, I have chills because it's like, it's huge. So thank you for your work, honestly.
Awesome. Oh, thank you. Thank you for coming here today. This was great.
I had a really good time. This is one of the best conversations I've had in a long time, like outside of my podcast in a long time. I loved it. And I'm so grateful. And I had a great time with you. Thank you.
Awesome. So yeah, we will have all your info in the show notes. And yeah, please follow Nicole on Instagram. Please follow, check out the online business, birthing your online business, Facebook group. It's really amazing. And I, again, like, I can't thank you enough for having been stagnant for, you know, 2-3 years looking after family and things like that, and not really being able to get into my birth work really. And with the pandemic really lighting a fire under my butt, to make me, you know, feel like this is work I could still keep doing even at the age of 52 with a broken body and all of that stuff. So thank you. And I hope everybody enjoyed this. I sure as hell did.
I bet they did. I don't doubt that for a minute.
Me too. This was a good time. This was a good time.
Thank you so much, Nicole.
Thank you. Thank you. You guys have a beautiful week.
Awesome. Can Nicole just stick around for one sec after I stop? And yeah, we will see you guys next week.
Bye. Have a great week, everyone.
Bye. Bye.